In the middle of the chart, right down the line here, this is intended to be a timeline, and the timeline is the time of the Old Testament law. That's this part, this half of the chart here, and this part is the time of the New Testament. This is where we are right now. Okay? This is before the crucifixion, this and the resurrection. This is after the crucifixion. Everybody got it? Any questions on that? Crude, I understand, but hopefully helpful. Now, let's talk about two verses to help to explain this. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 16, the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 16, and we'll start down at verse 19, and if you'll follow along, please, I'm going to read this passage in its entirety, because it is not a parable, and we know that because parables never name individuals. A sower went out to sow, no name, etc. But in this account, there is a very specific personal name given. And so we know this is not a parable. We know this is a story of a real event. Now, there was a certain rich man, verse 19, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, gaily living in splendor every day. And a certain poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores. And again, notice that the rich man has no name. He's not identified, but the poor man is identified specifically by name, Lazarus. And I just want to encourage you by that simple fact, God knows our name. God knows our name. And he was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. This guy is in real poverty. Now it came about that the poor man died, and he was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. Notice the contrast there? One of them, Lazarus, was carried away by the angels. That's a picture of what happens at our death, at our physical death. So here we're going to take a look at, and we can put names on these two individuals to kind of fit this particular passage, if you will. This would be a person who is saved in the Old Testament, and we could say this is Lazarus, okay? And this is typical of an unsaved person in the Old Testament. This is the rich man, okay? We'll just put those names on there for examples. What happens? When Lazarus dies, when the word death means separation, it means to be separated. So what happens is our being is separated. Our being, who we are, is separated. We are, as human beings, we are constructed, we are designed and built and constructed by our God to be in His image. That's what it says back in Genesis. We are made in His image. There are a multitude of things that are wrapped up in what His image means. We could do a lengthy study on that. We are in His image because of a lot of things. But I believe one of the primary things is that God is a tripart being. That's what we call the Trinity. He is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, three distinct entities, and yet they are one. That is the mystery of the Trinity. Tripart being. I believe that you and I are made also as a tripart being. We are made in His image. And the three parts for us are body, soul, and spirit. So we could go through a whole thing and try to do the analogy of the body. This is compared to that. I don't want to get into that this morning. I just want to just say this. When death, physical death, occurs for us, it is a separation. It is the three parts that have been put together by God. They are taken apart. That's what death is. So here in my chart is an attempt to depict that. When Lazarus died, what did they do with his body? They buried it. They put it in the ground. And that's what this horizontal guy down here is meant to depict. This is Lazarus' body. But that is not Lazarus. Look what it says in the passage. And in verse 22, "Now it came about that the poor man died, and he was carried away." Well, no, we put him in the grave. No. What did you put in the grave? You put part of him. You put part of him in the grave. You put the body in the grave. But here's where the rest of it went. He was carried away by the angels. So when it says he was carried away, what's being carried away? His soul and his spirit. His soul and his spirit. Last week we lost Julie, and when Julie died, we went through the process and we're in the process of burying her body. But that's not where Julie is. Julie has been carried away by the angels. Now, I'm just going to stop at that point in this passage, and I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll start at verse 6. Paul, and I hate to take these things out of context, but we're short on time this morning, so you just have to bear with me here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. And therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we being believers like you and me, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior this morning, we are at home in the body. While we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. What does that mean? That means that our soul and our spirit are here with the body. We're here. The Lord is not here physically. He is in heaven. Okay, so let's go on here now. Verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Verse 8, "We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Now, I want just stop and think for a moment about that verse. I want you to understand the impact of what that says. Paul says, me, my soul and spirit, are currently dwelling in this body. It's like this. I prefer rather to be absent from the body, and you can think about that all. That's yours to think about. Paul says, "I'm here, and I'm serving the Lord. My choice, if I had my choice, I prefer to be absent from the body, because I know that when I am absent from the body, I am going to be what? Present with the Lord." Now, folks, I want you to drill that into your minds. I want that to sink deep. For a believer today, This is Paul talking. He's over here. He says, for a believer today, to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. Now, was that true for Lazarus? To be absent from the body was what? To be present with Abraham's bosom. I want you to understand that just from those two verses, you can see that something happened. Right? Something happened. In the Old Testament, when you were absent from the body, you were in Abraham's bosom. For a believer today, when you are absent from the body, you are present with the Lord. And everybody said, amen. This is great. I want you to understand, and this is a crude attempt to try to picture the content of those two verses. But I want you to understand just this truth. Something happened. Everybody got it? Something happened. Mark.
It's interesting to note that Paul uniquely says that because he had seen how good it is over there.
Yes.
Even when I read that, I think, I'm not so sure about that. I'm good here for now.
Yeah.
Paul had seen. He had been in
heaven. You're right. Paul had been caught up to that third heaven, and he had been in the presence of God, and he had seen all that happen. You're right. So Paul's testimony about this is extremely powerful. And that's what I have put over here on this, is that on this side of the chart, to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. Before this, to be absent from the body was to be in Abraham's bosom. Now this circle down here is my absolutely accurate, guaranteed, money back if not fully satisfied, picture of this place that is called in the scripture Sheol. Sheol is a Hebrew word, and it means the abode of the dead. And it is talking about what is here in back to Luke chapter 16. It came about that the poor man died, and he was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died, and he was buried. No carrying away for him. He was buried. And in Hades, and that the name Hades is another name that is reference for part of this. Hades is the unsaved portion of this place that is called Sheol. Bob?
Is Sheol mentioned in the Old Testament?
Yes, it is. It's not translated as Sheol, but it is translated in, I think the King James has it as Sheol. I'd have to go back and look up the references, but if you've got a concordance, you can look them up.
So the Jews knew about that?
Yes.
They knew that's where they were going.
They knew. David talks about going to the grave and so forth. That's what he was talking about. They had no... They knew that someday they would stand with the Lord, but they had no understanding of these truths at all, because these truths were mysteries. These were truths that God held secret until the New Testament age, when He revealed them to people like Paul. Doug,
Can you talk a little bit about what the difference between the soul and the spirit is?
No, I can't. I would love to. Does anybody else have a question? the honest truth is, Doug, I have actually tried to study that out and see if I could understand that, and my beady little brain just can't decipher that. I want to turn to Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12 gives us a not an answer to that, but it does give you some indication. It says in verse 12, Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living, and I think the word of God there can be either the written word of God or it can be the living word of God. Jesus is described as the word of God. That is one of his names. And of course, the book that you have in your hands is the word of God. So it's unclear which one it's speaking of here. I think probably it's both. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit. So there is a difference. Soul, most Bible scholars believe that soul is that part of us that is aware of our existence here. Our hungers, the natural instincts, and the spirit is that part of us that connects us with an understanding that we have a creator. So, Bob, you have anything to add to that?
I don't remember where I got it from, but some scholars said that the soul was like our characteristics.
Right.
Like our personality, as opposed to our spirits.
Yep, and as it says here in verse 12, piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit of both joints and marrow, and is able to discern, to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So what we find in Hebrews 4:12, again, is confirmation that we are a multi-part being. We are a multi-part being. And when we die, the only thing, and I don't mean that disrespectfully, but the only thing that happens is the parts are separated. And for the righteous in the Old Testament, they were in Abraham's bosom. If you go back to Luke chapter 16, it says, and in Hades, this is talking about the rich man, in Hades he lifted up his eyes being in torment, and he saw Abraham far away. And Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. I want to just make a couple observations here real quickly. Number one is those who are in this side, in Abraham's bosom, and those, and this is before the crucifixion, and those who are in this side, which is Hades, which is a place of torment, they could see each other, and they could talk to each other. But between the two of them, there was this block in the middle that the scripture says was a great gulf that was fixed. So, I don't know exactly what that means, but there was a chasm of some sort that separated the two, and it was impossible, as the scripture says here in Luke 16, it was impossible for anyone to go in either direction across that. They could see each other. And I want you to notice, too, one of the questions that has been raised in class, and I just want to emphasize this solidly. One of the questions in the comments has been, well, when we're dead, we're just a spirit, we're just a blob floating around in the universe. No! No! When the rich man saw Lazarus, he didn't see a blob. He saw Lazarus. Everybody got it? Not only that, and here's the one that I don't understand. Not only that, he saw Abraham and he recognized him. He had never seen Abraham in his life. I don't understand it, but I believe what this word says. When our existence today terminates and our body goes into the grave, the soul and the spirit are not a mindless blob. It's us. It's you. you're still there, fully recognizable. Angels are spirit beings, and they have bodies that can be restrained. Daniel tells us that one of the holy angels was captured and prevented from going to Daniel to answer his prayer. An angel. How do you capture an angel? How do you catch one? I don't know, but I can tell you that they have bodies of some sort. That's what this scripture says. Now, I'm going to wrap this up here this morning because we're running out of time, but I just want to emphasize to you this point. When Jesus died on the cross, where did his body go? In the tomb. Where did his soul and spirit go? Here. And when he went there, he emptied this. When he rose from the grave, he emptied this half, and this half is now with the Lord. All of the Old Testament saints who were here in this Abraham's bosom, when Christ died and his spirit and soul went here, he raised them from the dead. And I put the scripture verses, I misspoke there. He removed them from Sheol. He didn't raise them from the dead. The difference is, when we are resurrected, and that's going to be out here at the rapture, we are going to have a new and a glorified physical body. And it's going to be like his. God's going to put us back together again. Death is a temporary thing. Oh, death, where is your victory? That's what Jesus declared. Where is your victory? In closing, I just want to emphasize one thing to you. When we talk about Easter, the death on the cross, the burial, the resurrection, we rejoice in the resurrection of Christ. There are so many things about the resurrection of Christ that we don't see physically. What we saw, had we been there, what we would have seen is him physically rising from the dead. But what we didn't see is that we were now justified. That was invisible. But it's no less real. We are justified before a holy God. Can you imagine that? I know what I am. I know what I am. I am unholy, unrighteous, ungodly, and in him I am holy, righteous, and godly. Justified before him. That happened when he rose from the dead. But I just want to share this other truth. This is another truth about the resurrection. All of these, Daniel, David, Abraham, all of the Old Testament saints for 4,000 years, who had been waiting in Abraham's bosom, comforted because they were not here, they were not being tormented, they were not being judged, they waited here, and they were waiting for what? They were waiting for the justification. And when Jesus died on the cross and he cried out, "It is finished," and everybody down here in this part said, "Hallelujah, yeah. It is finished." And now to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. No more waiting. No more waiting. Now, do they have the body that they're going to have? No. Not yet. That's coming. That's coming. It's the next on the program, and that's why we've got on the chart over here the rapture. That's what happens at the rapture. That's when we get a new body. But it's going to be not any less recognizable than the one we have now. as ugly as I might be, you're going to recognize me. You're going to recognize me. Well, I hope this has been an encouragement to you. I hope it's answered some of your questions. And as the days go forward and we see more and more of our friends and loved ones being separated from us, you can just look back on this and say, thank you, Lord, that separation is not permanent. You're going to put us back together again. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the incredible grace in which we stand. Lord, this chart is not, this is not a picture, not a diagram. It's not intended to teach doctrine. It's just a way of reminding ourselves of the incredible truth that when you rose from the grave, we rose with you. We who are in Christ were raised with you to newness of life, and we will live with you forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And Father, may the truth, that truth, be our hope, be our strength, and be our comfort in these days. And we'll thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week.